Hello and welcome to another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, continuing the Timberwolves big board, getting into some 3-and-D wing type players the Timberwolves could look to move up for perhaps in the draft. Plus, old friend Ryan Saunders has a new job. We're going to talk about all of it on the show here. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beek and I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Happy Monday, everybody. Hopefully you had a fantastic weekend. Thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every single day. Of course, Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere that you could listen to podcasts. That, of course, now includes YouTube as well as Apple, Google, Spotify, Odyssey. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find this show. And a quick reminder, you can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon. And that's with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right. Today on the show, I want to continue. This is part three of the Timberwolves big board. We'll talk about a couple of players today. As we get into kind of the latter part of the top 10, players that could be within range for the Timberwolves to trade up for. And so I want to talk about a couple of guys that I really like, one in particular as a potential fit for the Timberwolves. And obviously, these are players likely to be picked in the top 10. Can the Wolves trade up into the top 10? Are they interested in trading up into the top 10? Also, a note on that here in a second related to new president of basketball ops, Tim Connolly. First, I did want to mention Ryan Saunders is reportedly going to be hired by the Denver Nuggets. This is according to Shams Charania of The Athletic. And he will be, this was reported on Sunday, an assistant coach there on Michael Malone's staff. And we've known that the Saunders family and the Malone and Michael Malone have been close. I believe Michael Malone visited Minnesota in between jobs. It was Sacramento and Denver in between those two jobs. When I think, if I remember correctly, Flip was head coach and maybe, I believe that was, it would have been before Ryan was head coach. So I believe the Saunders family and Malone have a relationship, and Ryan Saunders is still well thought of in NBA circles, even though obviously the head coaching tenure didn't go as anyone wanted it to in Minnesota. I mean, prior to being in Minnesota, he'd been on the staff in Washington for several years, even after his dad had been fired by the Wizards. Ryan Saunders has a lot of fans around the league, and so it's not a shock to see him catch on and catch on with a successful organization. I joked about this on Twitter after the news broke on Sunday that, I mean, it's like Denver and Minnesota are really leaning into this, trying to create a rivalry thing. And I'm completely aware of the fact that the Nuggets have been far better than the Wolves over the past several years. But, you know, it dates back to the Wolves beating Denver in that game 82 several years ago, the Jimmy Butler season, to make the playoffs and eliminate the Nuggets, and then Denver being much better than Minnesota since then. But there's obviously the Beasley and Vanderbilt connection in Minnesota. There's Tim Connolly. There's the Jokic versus Towns thing. And of course, the recent comments that I talked about last week from Josh Kroenke of the the Nuggets chairman and governor or whatever, you know, of the Kroenke family that owns the team, his comments last week about calling the Timberwolves desperate and you know, basically poo-pooing Connolly's interest in equity in Minnesota, saying basically, I don't know what that even means. That whole press conference, that was a kind of just somewhat of a disaster, in my opinion. There's that. And then now Ryan Saunders, who, of course, is the nicest coach that could exist, one of the nicest people in basketball. And now there he is in Denver as an assistant coach on Malone's staff. So congrats to Ryan Saunders. He's going to be apparently at the forefront of this rivalry, even though he won't lean into it like a Kroenke might or others. But this will be it'll be good to have him back in the league. One other quick note related to Tim Connolly and kind of segueing into the draft conversation in the big board today is the Athletic's John Krasinski, of course, the fantastic local reporter for The Athletic, interviewed Tim Connolly, had an article related to Tim Connolly starting the role in Minnesota. And there wasn't a ton in there that was super notable, although they did talk briefly about the draft. And there's a quote from Connolly that where he talks about the possibility of trading up he said, basically, we feel good about, well, here, I'll just read exactly what he said. He said, we feel good about adding another valuable piece, a good player at 19. There will potentially be some pretty cool opportunities to use that as a trade asset as well. Anytime you have four draft picks, it's exciting. It's the one day of the year where you really control what you can do largely. And that's Tim Connolly's quote from John Krasinski's piece in The Athletic, I think from Friday. I mean, it's a fair sentiment. Obviously, if you're running the front office and you're asked about it, you're going to say, oh, we could do anything with this pick, from taking somebody to trading up to trading down. And so he said that. But I think this is a real opportunity. This is a deep enough draft, especially when it comes to wings and guards, that I think you could sit there, and we'll get to that point on the big board here shortly, and get a pretty good player. But depending on how the board shakes out, if there's some guys projected to go in the top 6, 8, 10 picks that slide, you could package one of your second round picks, probably two of your second round picks, to slide up, or maybe a future pick even if it's a really good opportunity. Remember, I mean, this team, even though it was deep, there needs to be a little bit better top end depth, right? The starting group needs to be a little bit better. And if there is the opportunity to get a perfect fit type player with some upside, I mean, think of Jaden McDaniels, who obviously slid all the way into the 20s a couple of years ago, but that type of a player who could slide in and be effective in a role now, but potentially has that starter and maybe even star level upside as a third wheel moving forward to Towns and Edwards, assuming D'Angelo Russell is either traded or not extended. You know, I think you got to strike if that's a possibility, and Connolly's obviously open to that. So we'll see how that all breaks down here, as we're now less than 2 weeks away from the draft, believe it or not. All right, let's go ahead and talk big board. I've got two guys I want to talk about. This will be number 7, number 8 on my Timberwolves draft big board. So we're gonna get to that here in just a second. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Truebill. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 per year with Truebill. Because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. And your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so that you don't have to. Truebill has over 2 million users and helped save them over $100 million. Like Matthew B., who says, in a matter of seconds, I saved $660 for the year in my DirecTV bill, saved $120 for the year in my SiriusXM bill, and saved $840 a year on car insurance. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. That's Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. Thanks again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. By the way, the ultimate NBA mock draft, which I've talked about a little bit here, done by yours truly and all the Locked On hosts, that will start June 16th. There's over 50 insiders. Nothing equals the ultimate NBA mock draft, the Locked On NBA big board draft experts, plus Odyssey insiders. The first pick is June 16th. Search ultimate NBA mock draft and follow now wherever you listen to podcasts so that you don't miss a pick. As part of our ultimate NBA mock draft, it's going to be a lot of fun. I mentioned I made my pick, I guess a little over a week ago now, for the Wolves at 19. Player I haven't talked about yet on the podcast. A little bit of a tease, a spoiler there, but it's a ton of fun to be part of that, and that's going to come out here in just a few days, or it's going to start the. We'll start going through that draft here in just a few days. Okay, let's talk big board. So for me, and again, this is the quick and dirty, I guess, explanation here is that this is my big board. If I was drafting for the Timberwolves in this order, these are the players I would pick at each of these spots if they were available at these spots. So it doesn't necessarily follow a generic mock draft or generic big board, but it's not going to be probably all that different, right? I'm mostly just factoring in fit on top of my evaluation of prospects. Currently, so far, I have Jabari Smith, number one, Chet Holmgren, number two, Paolo Banchero, number three. I went with, Keegan Murray at number four out of Iowa, Shaedon Sharpe, number five, and then Jaden Ivey of Purdue, number six. And today at number seven, I'm going to go with Benedict Mathurin out of Arizona. I have him maybe a little bit higher than you'll see in some mock drafts because I think the fit with Minnesota is so good. Mathurin's a wing. He's about 6'6 with a 6'9 or possibly a little bit bigger wingspan, at least a 6'9 wingspan. Depending on where you pull that from, it varies a little bit. But I think at least 6'6 with a 6'9 wingspan. And I tell you, when you watch him play, it looks like he's got longer arms than that. The biggest appeal for me is he's got this combination of athleticism, shooting ability, and feel in terms of being a cutter I guess in some senses could be a movement shooter offensively. I think the upside as a 3-and-D guy, and potentially even star upside, is really attractive. The biggest thing that stuck out to me is the combination, again, of the athleticism and the cutting ability. If you're going to be drafted by the Timberwolves and play between Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards, and along with Patrick Beverley and perhaps this year D'Angelo Russell, you have to be a good cutter. And Mathurin is a very, very good cutter, and he's extremely athletic. It's a fantastic combination. The feel, backdoor cuts, the ability to, you know, fake popping out for a shot around a screen, and I'll talk about this in a second. He's a great shooter, especially around screens. To fake to the perimeter and backdoor cut, lob passes or lob catches, I should say, especially against zone defenses or defenders that simply fall asleep or are expecting him to shoot a jumper. He has the feel to know when to do that and the athleticism and length to be able to finish over the defense and elevate above defenders to score at the rim off the catch. Also, his shooting off screens is really attractive. He shot over 38% on three-pointers coming around screens. He scored a lot off of curl screens, lots of NBA-type actions that they ran at Arizona to get him jumpers on the perimeter. And again, that sets up the backdoor cut, right? If they can run 3-4 plays a game for him to pop out to the arc to get a three-pointer, once or twice a game, he could go backdoor and get a lob pass for a dunk. And the feel there is really incredible. And that's, you know, D'Lo likes to throw lob passes, no looks to cutters, things like that. So if he's playing with D'Lo, that's a great fit. And as Anthony Edwards matures as a playmaker and a passer at the NBA level, there could be some synergy there as well. And again, in terms of fit with the Wolves, he's got enough size that he could play with Anthony Edwards. He could play Ant at the two and him at the three. And that's a massive, you know, backcourt / wing group, right? Or you could play him play Ant at the three if you went smaller, and you could play Mathurin at the small ball four. Defensively, again, he's got good feel overall. He's the athleticism and the cutting ability that shows up on offense also displays itself defensively. Strong steal rate. It reminds me of a little bit of a cornerback lane and weight. You know, what we saw a lot of Ant, especially rookie year, where jumping and still second year too, jumping passing lanes, can kind of almost play that free safety type role. So I guess really anybody in an NFL defensive backfield, the ability to jump passing lanes, the athleticism to do it consistently with success instead of gambling. And, you know, if you gamble, you can't miss, obviously. And all the tools are there defensively to be good in isolation as well. I mean, he got beat. He gets on his heels a little bit and can gamble a little bit too much in terms of one-on-one defense. So it's not perfect, right? There's a reason why he's not the number one prospect in this draft, because I've described a lot of really attractive traits so far. One of the issues is he's not consistent enough defensively yet. But the tools are there. If he can lock in one-on-one, in some regard, it reminds me a little bit of Jaden McDaniels, where it was hard to project his defense at the NBA level. It's hard to know exactly what he's going to look like as a one-on-one defender. But the Wolves have Jaden McDaniels. They have Jared Vanderbilt. They have Patrick Beverley. Ant has improved defensively and has been really good. He's much better on the ball now, Ant is, than off the ball, because he can lock in one-on-one. And Mathurin, at the moment, is the opposite. And frankly, Ant was as a rookie too. He's better off the ball, getting a couple steals a game, simply jumping passing lanes, and wasn't very good on the ball. Since then, Ant has locked in defensively. He's much better one-on-one, and they're giving him tougher defensive assignments, and he rises to the occasion. Mathurin could just be simply the guy who's off the ball, jumping passing lanes and guarding, you know, not the other team's best wing or best ball handler, best scoring threat from the perimeter. And so I don't think that's a major deal yet, because again, the tools are there. 6'6 with 6'9 wings, athleticism. I think that he would actually fit in the Wolves' defensive game plan very well. He's got a lot of work to do as a playmaker, but that's not what you'd be doing with Minnesota. Again, the current roster, He'd be like the fourth option at offense after Towns, Ant, and D'Lo. Or, you know, I guess if Patrick Beverley's running the point, then maybe you're the third option. But he doesn't need to play make. He doesn't need to score off the ball, or excuse me, score on the ball, score with the ball in his hands, or I should say initiate offense and find his own shot is a better way to say that. Obviously, you need the ball in your hands to score. But the tools are all there to improve there. Clearly, he's got a strong sense of timing and spacing and overall basketball IQ, given his work as a cutter, scoring off screens, jumpy passing lanes defensively. He's got a good sense of what to do and where to be and all the tools to make it work. It's just he hasn't had that many reps actually like running pick and roll or, again, guarding a primary ball handler one-on-one. Some of those things need to be refined. Again, there's a reason he's likely to be picked somewhere in the 6 to 12 range. But I've got him 7 on my board, and don't be shocked if on my next version of my big board he rises a little bit, because I actually think the fit with Minnesota is pretty perfect. The cutting and the shooting, the defensive tools, the overall athleticism, what he could do in transition is perfect for Minnesota. He fits the fast pace the Wolves want to play. Think offensively in transition, he's like Malik Beasley in the sense that he can rim run and just get a lob at the basket. He'll run right to the arc, quick enough release, fantastic mechanics and form, get a pass and score in the fast break. He did that a ton at Arizona in terms of shooting threes in transition, which not all college teams do. I guess more teams do it now than they used to. But the understanding there of just getting to a spot and getting an open shot in transition, an open jumper in transition, is there for Mathurin. I think he fits Minnesota perfectly because of all those reasons, the cutting, the shooting, the transition scoring, the defensive tools, the ability to be a complementary defender off the ball. It's all really a perfect fit for Minnesota. And honestly, he's somebody that if he slides, like say he slides to 9 or 10, I mean, what does it take to move up from 19 to 10? Is it 2 second rounders this year? That's probably not enough. Is it a player in a second? Is it a second this year and a future first, you know, protected on some level? I don't know, but Mathurin's a guy who I really would like on the Timberwolves. And he's likely going to go in the top 10. It would be hard to get. But if for some reason he does slide, he's a guy you'd have to look at in terms of trying to draft to the Timberwolves. Okay, I want to hit one more player here today, number 8 on my big board. We're going to do that here next. First, let's talk about our friends, the title sponsor of today's program, and that's BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, news, and odds, including this year's NBA Finals, the NHL Conference Finals, which are just wrapping up, and the Stanley Cup Finals are going to start here soon. Major League Baseball, and of course, all the latest fighting news from MMA and UFC to boxing. Related to the finals, the line for Monday night's Game 5 as the series moves back to Golden State, according to BetOnline.net, is the Warriors favored by 3.5 at home against Boston. That feels about right. Maybe a little bit high. I maybe would have just gone 3. I don't know that I'd go lower than 3. But 3.5 is the line for Boston at Golden State on Monday night. So get ready for Game 5 and bet along with the live betting on BetOnline as well. You can head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sport wagering information, including, again, live betting, which is a ton of fun, esports, and more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, let's close today's show by talking about number 8 on my big board, and that is AJ Griffin, a wing out of Duke, a pretty big wing, actually similar in size to Mathurin, but with a longer wingspan. But in terms of body type, he's bulkier in terms of strength, not in a bad way. I mean, he's got more strength, more build to him than Mathurin does. He's also a better shooter in terms of percentage, and I'll get to in a second why I have him behind Mathurin on my board. But Griffin had some injury issues in high school, missed some time, but was mostly healthy at Duke. And the shooting percentage is insane. He shot almost 49% this last year on 120 attempts. He has great touch, obviously, from anywhere on the floor, really. He's a well-rounded scorer. If you watch just highlights of his shooting at first glance, you're going to think this guy's shot, you know, it won't play at the NBA level because they're perhaps it's too slow or whatever that might be, or the release might be too slow. But if you watch his shot carefully, yes, it's a little unorthodox. He's got a really wide base when he shoots it, and it's a little bit weird looking. But the release itself isn't that slow. It's maybe a hair slow, but it's not slow enough that it's going to hamper him significantly at the NBA level. I mean, he'll occasionally get a shot blocked, but again, he's big. He's got a 7-foot wingspan. He's 6'6 or so. but he shot 49% on significant attempts at Duke. I don't think the release is as slow as it looks to be at first glance. So I'm not too worried about that. He's a really good movement shooter. He can shoot from really anywhere. If you watch him, he completely understands how to fill space, right? So he'll backfill space on the offensive end of the floor. If he sees a gap, he knows how to kind of slide into the open floor, move into open spots, fade into the corner if that's the best play. And he's fantastic shooting from the corners, by the way, as you'd expect. Again, 49% on threes. I mean, there's no other way around it. He's a fantastic shooter. And again, understanding even if you're not calling plays for him, which you would because he's that good of a shooter, understanding where to go on the floor in the half court to fill open space and get those shot opportunities is a really important skill. And AJ Griffin can do that. He's got a really strong build, a really large build, as I mentioned. He's more than just a shooter. He can put the ball on the floor and get to the rim, but he doesn't use quickness to do it. He's not ultra quick. He doesn't have that first step. He really just kind of bullies his way to the rim. And he could absolutely do that if he ends up with twos on him or smaller threes at the NBA level. And he did it throughout college. I have some concerns about bullying his way to the rim at the NBA level because he's big. So are most NBA players, and he's strong, but so are most NBA players. He's got great touch, can finish through contact, but he's not going to get the first step on hardly anybody unless you're playing him as a small ball four. And then at that point, I mean, the size doesn't play quite as well. Although I think it's good enough that he may be best used as a small ball four, a stretch four type who can put the ball on the floor. He's not quite like, he's obviously much bigger than Slo-Mo, than Kyle Anderson of the Grizzlies and formerly of the Spurs. But watching him put the ball on the floor is a little bit like a more skilled version of Kyle Anderson and a bigger version of Kyle Anderson because he does move slowly. But again, the touch is so good. The best way I would put it is he's kind of got, it looks like he has heavy feet almost, which is, I guess, more of a turn of phrase. But it feels like he's kind of slogging his way to the rim. But again, big enough, strong enough, enough touch, enough athleticism to make that work, certainly at the NCAA level. And I think it'll work on some level at the NBA level as well. Again, overall instincts are good, pretty good defensively. I actually think he'll be an okay team defender, but I worry about him one-on-one for the same reasons I just mentioned, the heavy feet, a little bit bulky. I think if he ends up on threes or switched onto twos, he's going to get blown by in a hurry at the NBA level. He's really only going to be able to guard some fours on the perimeter, maybe some bigger, slower threes. I think he'll get beat one-on-one, and I think he'll be prone to foul issues that happen occasionally at Duke. And because he'll lose a half step against some of these guys, his instinct is to be aggressive, which is a good thing. I think he could struggle with some foul trouble. So overall, as a prospect, in my mind, he's a bulky big three or limited four. The scoring touch is really attractive, and I think technically he fits the Wolves for that reason because he can play the three and the four, and he's got scoring upside, the size to be strong defensively. But I worry about the one-on-one defense. I worry about the fit offensively, and not as much the feel because, again, I think his feel is good. But I worry about, can he fit into a lower usage role because he was such a high usage guy at Duke? Even more, I think Mathurin's a better fit from a role player perspective, will be more comfortable as a spot up guy, a guy getting buckets in transition, how the Wolves use Malik Beasley essentially, which is he's going to get his shots. He's going to shoot the ball a ton, but it's all catch and shoot and transition opportunities. And as a cutter, Beasley's a pretty good cutter too. Whereas Griffin's going to want the ball in his hands. He's not really a playmaker per se. I think he could be potentially, but the quickness will limit him a little bit there. I think he's going to want the ball in his hands to be creating for himself a little bit more than just catch and shoot and transition. And for those reasons, I think Mathurin's got a higher defensive upside in my mind, a little bit more positionally flexible, and will fit the offense better than AJ Griffin. So that's why I've got Mathurin at 7 and Griffin at 8. You'll see that flipped in a lot of places. You may see Griffin even higher than 7 in some places. I just have some concerns with, again, the slowness, the lack of quickness, in terms of his feet, moving his feet, the bulkiness, guarding at the NBA level, and then also the fit. Is he going to want to be a higher usage type guy than he would be in Minnesota? So if the Wolves were to move up, this would have to be a situation almost certainly where Mathurin slides past 7 or 8, the Wolves are able to move up. But I mean, this is the first guy that I think realistically could get past that point, still be available, and the Wolves could package some picks, future picks, players, et cetera, to move up and get Benedict Mathurin. I mean, I don't know. I'd have to look again at the teams that are picking here and everything, but perhaps is there a possibility to even replace Malik Beasley with Benedict Mathurin? It's obviously a little bit dangerous if you fancy yourself a playoff team and you're replacing a rotation guy, an NBA vet who scored 20 points a game just a couple of years ago, and Beasley, with a rookie, but could Mathurin fill that role at a much lower cost with higher upside at this point and, you know, the next several years in Minnesota not having to worry about a contract extension? It'd be a really gutsy move by the new regime, but could you trade Beasley in a second rounder to move up and get Benedict Mathurin? Is there a team in that range in the draft, you know, the 7, 8, 9, 10 type range who'd be willing to do that? I mean, you're talking Portland at 7, New Orleans at 8. You know, it'd be the Spurs at 9. These are all Western Conference rivals trying to get to the playoffs. So that'd be an interesting kind of challenge trade. But there could be a fit there for Malik Beasley. And you get into 10, Washington could be a possibility. If Mathurin's still on the board at 10, could you trade Beasley in a pick to the Wizards to get Mathurin? That's how much I like his fit with Minnesota. So keep an eye on him. And I'm just saying that because I really like him and I think the fit would be great. No rumors, of course, to that extent yet. But I think it could be a real possibility. All right, that's all I have for you today here on the show. We'll obviously continue the big board later this week. That will be the focus as we talk more draft and the finals get ready to conclude game 5 tonight. So we'll keep you posted on all that. Thanks again for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as Apple, Google, Spotify, and Odyssey. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K-E-N. Thanks again for listening to Locked On Wolves, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. A reminder, you can make your second listen, the Locked On NBA Big Board Show, by host Raphael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkie. He's also the author of the NBA Big Board newsletter. He's joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock drafts, player rankings, and of course, big boards. It's free and available wherever you listen to podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.